We're holding on Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Beis by the Mishnah. We learned in the previous Mishnah about you have a ground floor and a second floor where the floor between them caves in, and we said, or actually not the previous Mishnah, but the one before that, where the floor caves in, and therefore we said there are circumstances in which the upstairs and when the upstairs owner is entitled to go and live downstairs until the floor is fixed. So the Mishnah says, V'chein beis habad, the same way you have an olive press, shehu bonui b'sela, which is built into the rock, v'gina achas algabav, and you have a garden above it, on the ground above it. So again, we're talking about similar to the previous Mishnah, we're talking about that they belong to different people. Again, where it actually describes, let's say, they both used to belong to one person, and then he passed away, and his two children inherited it. So the nifchas, and then the ceiling of the olive press caved in. So now the place of the garden is not available anymore, or at least part of it is, as we'll see in the Gemara. Hare bala gina yored v'zerei lamata, the owner of the garden now is able to go and plant his plants downstairs in the olive press, ad shiyasa the base bade kippin, until the owner of the olive press goes and makes arches to hold up the vaults and arches to hold it the way he's supposed to hold up the roof, and then the other guy will be able to put his topsoil back on it and replant his garden all upstairs. So it's similar to the case of an upstairs and a downstairs neighbor, where here we're talking about planting downstairs versus a garden. An interesting point is actually that
the olive press is downstairs?
The olive press is downstairs and the garden is upstairs. So now the guy from upstairs is taking some of his topsoil and moving it into the olive press and planting over there until the roof of the olive press is fixed, which is the flooring that's holding up his garden. The Tartas Chaim points out, an interesting point is that, in the previous Mishnah, we learned that Rabbi Yehuda had, actually, first of all, you have Rabbeinu Yohanan points out, in the earlier Mishnah, we had Rabbi Yehuda arguing, and then the previous Mishnah, we had the case where the whole thing collapsed, and we had the Tanakhama saying that the one who used to live upstairs rebuilds the downstairs, lives there until the other guy pays his expenses, and then moves out. And Rabbi Yehuda had argued with that and said that's a problem, because shouldn't he have to be paying him rent for the fact that he's using the place and causing the walls to get blackened or whatever? Well, over here, you don't have, even Rabbi Yehuda would say there's no problem over here. There's nothing. Rabbi Yehuda had a problem, at least according to Rashi, that if you don't pay rent, it looks like ribbis. Here, there's nothing of that, because before we were talking about, before we were talking about living downstairs, but here we're not talking about living, we're just talking about planting his garden over here. And the Tartas Chaim adds also, the Gemara had mentioned, we learned yesterday, the consideration that there's actually Zech Chosser, that one of them is losing out because the walls are getting blackened from use. Here you don't really have that, because you're planting instead of living here. So therefore there's no machlokas about it, and everybody would agree that he can do that. That he can plant there until the other guy fixes the roof. Continues the Mishnah. So Rashi actually says then that, so again, Rashi said that we were talking about brothers who divided it up, although Tosfos has some questions about that, and Tosfos says that maybe not actually, maybe on the face of it, since the Gemara is going to bring them a locus of Rav and Shmuel over here, which is similar to what we had earlier about how much of it has to have caved in for it to be an issue. And there we were talking about a landlord and a tenant. So maybe here we're talking about that he rented out the place upstairs for the garden, and really, in fact, it belongs to him. Anyway. Continues the Mishnah. If a wall or a tree falls into Rishos Rabim, the Hiziku, and they cause damage, falls on somebody's car or something, Potter, it's Potter Melashalim, he's Potter to pay, because it's an oinus. He couldn't have known that it was going to fall, assuming that it was a sturdy wall or a sturdy tree. On the other hand, if it was already rickety, Nosnalois Zman, and Beistin gave him a certain deadline, Lokwitz Ilan Ballister is a proposal to chop down the tree or tear down the wall, so they had already seen that it's unstable, and they had the Gemara tells us in Tainus, actually, we're actually going to be learning it, if you're able to be here for Ein Yaakov this afternoon, Rest Hashem, then we're actually going to learn that very point today, that the Gemara tells how Rav Huna used to go around on windy days, would go throughout the city of Sura, where he was the Rosh Hashiva, and he would check if there were any unstable walls or whatever, he would, have the balabas tear them down, and then either you have to tear it down and rebuild it, or he would give him money to rebuild it if the guy couldn't afford it. So this way, this prevented that there would be any such potential things with walls collapsing. Anyway, so here, Beistin gave the guy a certain amount of time to remove his hazard, the Noflu, and they fell. So Besoch Hazman, if it was within the deadline, Potter, then he's still Potter because it's still considered an onus because he had that amount of time. La'achar Hazman, but if he waited after the time and then it fell and caused damage, Chayev, then at that point it's Shia because he should have torn it down by then. Another case, a person has a wall next to somebody else's garden. Now you could equally well, on the face of it, have this din, not only if it's next to somebody's garden, but also if it's between chatzeris. So there are a couple of points the Smeh makes on it. First of all, at the beginning of Bava Basra, it talks about a wall between two chatzeres is usually built jointly by the two of them. That's the first Mishnah in Bava Basra, Shutfin, that if the Shutfin want to make a mechitza in the chatzer, because they want to divide the chatzer and put up a wall, then Bonin and Sakosa Be'emtza, they build it in the middle and each of them shares equally in the cost, where here we're going to be working on the assumption that only one of them owns the stones and the other material of the wall, so you wouldn't usually have that by a wall of a chatzer, besides which also the implication is over here that it may not end up being rebuilt, where the Gemara discusses over the Mishnah and the Gemara discuss over there that by a garden, not necessarily does there need to be a wall 4 amas high in the first place. You need some kind of wall, you need some kind of low partition to keep people out, but you don't need enough to prevent hezek ria, because by a garden, people aren't usually there in the garden all the time. As opposed to a chotzer, you're going to need a wall around it, and therefore they're going to rebuild it soon enough.
What? In the chotzer,
you're washing clothing, you're doing all kinds of other personal matters that you don't do in the house, so there's more of an issue of hezek ria. There is, incidentally, in that connection, I won't be here for this part of Bava Basra, unfortunately, just for the first half. But there's a tshuva where the Rambam wrote to the Chachmei Luno, where they asked him, how come it is by a chotzer you're saying the wall has to be 4 amas tall, and by a garden you're saying maximum 10 tefachim, where the Gemara there seems to imply that both of them need to be 4 amas, and the Rambam explains, because by a chotzer you have an actual issue of hezek ria. People are doing private things in their chotzer, and you don't want, and they have a right to not be stared at. On the other hand, with a garden, fine, we said before in our Masechta, we learned in the previous Perek, you're not supposed to look at somebody's crops while they're growing because of Ayin Hara, but that's really only Midas Chassidus, and we shouldn't require somebody else to have to build a wall 4 amas to prevent them from doing that. So therefore, 10 tefachim is quite enough. Anyway, so the point is over here that we're talking about a wall that belongs to only one person, so typically you would find that next to a garden rather than next to a chotzer. So for nothing, now if that wall collapsed, And the stones and the other debris fell into the garden. But Omalai, and the owner of the garden says, Panei Avanecha, remove your stones, they're interfering with my garden. But Omalai Higiucha, the owner of the wall says, you know what, they've come to you, meaning in other words, fine, you keep them yourself, I don't need them back, I'm being master them to you, and you,
a present.
I'm giving them to you as a present, basically, and you clear them away yourself. Ein Shoyman Loi, we don't have to listen to him because you can't give a person a matana against his will. So there is also the point. Tosfos points out, we learned back in Bava Kamma that when something fell ba'onis and then he's mafkir it, then he is potter from any further damage from it. For example, a person is walking in the street, we said over there, and he drops his jug, and now you have this water on the street, and there's a broken piece of earthenware in the street, but it was an onus that he fell in the first place. So then if he doesn't clean it up, then we say he can be mafkir them, and he'd be potter from anything that happens to them. But here, it seems very clear, as the Gemara is going to say, he's not actually really trying to be master it. He just wants to get out of the hassle of cleaning it up. He doesn't necessarily really intend to give it to the other guy. I know there are also other considerations as well. The Rosh makes a point as well that the difference is that here it caused the hezek when it fell, because as opposed to there, you're talking about it fell and now it's a hazard in the street and later on somebody comes and trips over it. Anyway, Misha Kivalala, but vice versa, what if the owner of the garden accepts that? He says, you know what, fine, that seems like a good idea. I'll have stones to build with. If after he accepts that, Omaloi, now the owner of the wall, says, you know what, I changed my mind. I'll pay you for your expenses in removing the stones. Vani etol es shali, and I'll take back my stones. Also, in Sherman Loi, we don't listen to him, and it belongs to the other guy, because now already he gave it to him, and now the other guy, now the other guy took it, and now he can't unilaterally change his mind and demand them back. Another din, hasoichas apoyolasis ima the tevin of a cash. Person hires a worker to work with him, collecting straw or stubble. Now, on the face of it, it could mean from his own or from hefker, and we're going to see in the Gemara exactly what the case is. But omaloi tol mashal sisa. Later on, he tells the employer tol mashal sisa. Omaloi temi sfari. So now, later on, the worker says, "Pay me for my labor." And the owner of the and the boss, the employer, tells him, keep what you did, and that'll be your schar. In other words, you keep the straw that you collected, and you can keep that as your schar. In Sherman Loi, we do not listen to him. He has to actually pay him in money. Now Rashi points out, we usually have shove kesef to kesef. We usually say, we learned back in Bava Kamma, that whenever the Torah says you have to pay a certain amount of money, it's equally valid to pay in shava kesef as far as nizikin and other things like that. But here Rashi says no. Since the pasuk says loy solin, as we learned in the previous parak, you're not allowed to leave over the worker's pay overnight or over day, as the case may be, as we talked about. So therefore, that implies that you have to pay him whatever you made up with him. And since to begin with, you made up with him that you're going to pay him in money, then therefore you have to pay him money. The Rashba learns differently. The Rashba learns that the vort is. If you were to pay him in straw, then let's consider. He and his family can't eat straw. He's going to have to go and sell the straw and get money and then use that money to buy something else, unless he can find somebody else directly to barter the straw for money with, but he's not necessarily going to be able to. Meanwhile, they're going to go hungry, so therefore he can't do that. In which case, maybe then the din would be that if he's going to pay him in food, maybe that would be valid because then they have ready-made food. So on the other hand, if the worker accepts on himself, fine, I'll take the straw. Later on, the employer tells him, you know what, I changed my mind. Here's payment for you in money. And I'm going to take back my straw. In Sherman Lay, we don't listen to him. And the worker already made a kinyan on the straw. Similarly, in the previous case, he was cutting the stones to a kinyan chotzer, or he already removed them, and then he actually did mashicha in them. So therefore, in both those cases, that's why the Mishnah puts these two cases together, because it's a similar kind of thing, where you're saying you don't have the right to say beforehand, you take this, and I'm washing my hands of it. On the other hand, after he accepted it, then you also don't have the ability to unilaterally take it back. So, the Gemara says, Nifchasa, when we said in the first case of the Mishnah, when the ceiling of the olive press collapsed, and then you had the garden upstairs of it, so how much of it had to have collapsed for it to be, for the din of on Mishnah to be triggered, that he can go and plant downstairs? Rav Omer ben Rubo, Shmuel Omer ben Arba, Barba, really, specifically means Tvachim. Rav says most of it, Shmuel says if it's an area 4x4 tefachim. Rav Omer Beruba, Rav says only if most of it caved in. Ava Ba'arba, but if it's only 4 tefachim, no, that doesn't give him the right to plant his entire garden downstairs. Adam Zereh, Chetzi Lamatav, Chetzi Lamayla, a person could very well plant part of his garden downstairs and part upstairs, and therefore he would be required to do that. Most of his garden he would have to keep upstairs. And the area that caved in, that he could take a little bit of topsoil and plant a few of his plants downstairs. He doesn't have to take over the whole olive press. So that's pointed out. Well, Shmuel Amar, but Arba, Shmuel says, no, only, even if it's 4x4 tefachim, really, the, in Gemara terminology, Arba, first of all, Arba is Lashon Nekeva, Arba is Lashon Zachar. So when we talk about tefachim, which are Lashon Zachar, tefach and tefachim are Lashon Zachar, therefore we use the word ba'arba'ah. When we're talking about amos, where ama and amos are plural, then we use ba'arba. So really here, throughout the sugya over here, we're using the word ba'arba, which we really refer to amos, but it's really supposed to be ba'arba'ah, meaning tefachim. Anyway, Shmuel says ba'arba'ah, that it's enough if it's four tefachim, because ain't on them zeria chetzi l'mayla v'chetzi l'mata, you can't expect that a person is going to have to plant, part upstairs and part upstairs and part downstairs. Once there's a significant area 4x4 tefachim that he can't plant above that he can't plant in the ground above, then he's entitled to move his entire garden downstairs until the guy fixes it all in press. Now, we had exactly the same machlokas on Kuf Tes Zayin Amud Beis a couple of Mishnayos ago about the case where the ceiling slash floor between the two stories of the house collapsed. So why do we need the same machlokas over there and over here? So the Gemara points out, it's slicha. We need it. Now, before we talk about why our Mishnah is needed b'chlal, what the chiddush is in our Mishnah over the earlier one, we talked about that the point is that here Rabbi Yehuda is not disagreeing and saying that there's any problem with the owner of the garden setting up his garden downstairs. There's no problem of ribbis. There's no problem of blackening the walls. But here we're focusing on, fine, the Mishnah itself is needed, but why do Rav and Shmuel have to repeat their machlokas over here as over there? So it's slicha. If we were only told their machloikas in connection with the house, you would say, Bahok Ama Shmuel, you know why Shmuel says that if it caved in an area only 4x4 trochim, Mishum Deloy Avidi Inshi, the diary Kotrahacho. It's not usual for people to live a little here and a little there. People expect to have all their household furnishings in one place. And therefore, the upstairs neighbor can say, you know what, I never signed up in the first place. I never rented the place with the understanding that I'm going to have to keep some of my things downstairs and have to go down for them every time I want and other things upstairs. So therefore, once I can't use part of the upstairs, then I'm entitled to live downstairs, as we learned before, together with you, the landlord, until the place is fixed up. So there maybe Shmuel is saying that. Abel l'inyan zriya, but when it comes to planting, avidi inchi, dizana hochaporta, vahochaporta. Maybe indeed, some people sometimes plant a little here and a little there. So you could argue that Shmuel would say that 4x4 is not enough to trigger this din. So given that people might well do that, Ema Modele L'Rab, maybe he would agree with Rab that in that case only if most of it caved in. V'iyit ba'bahach, and if we only had an all connection with the garden, you would say the other way around. Bahach kama Rab, only here for that reason does Rab say only if most of it caved in, because only then you don't really have much of the area upstairs that you can use for your garden, therefore you're entitled to transfer your whole garden downstairs. But Abel Baha, so here he would disagree with Shmuel and say that 4x4 is not enough to trigger that. Abel Baha, but in the earlier din involving the apartments, Ema Modele the Shmuel, maybe he would agree with Shmuel that it's a hassle to have some things downstairs and some things upstairs, and therefore the tenant upstairs would be entitled to move downstairs. Tzricha, therefore we need to be told in both cases that Rav and Shmuel have the same argument. In both cases, they don't consider this a distinction. They don't take into consideration this distinction, or they do, but they say it's not important for our purposes, between living there versus planting over there. Shittim Kobretzis points out that maybe, you know, there can be a difference within a garden itself. Between you have a garden, you usually grow vegetables over there, and you constantly need to water them. So Shmuel will say then that once you have four amos that you can't use, then you're entitled to transfer it downstairs, because you can't expect the guy to have to go downstairs and water his plants and back upstairs and water them as well. But if it's, for example, a field of grain or whatever that only needs to be that's growing based on rainwater, and you only need to work it a couple of times a year, maybe indeed he'd only be able to take that area and replant it downstairs, and the rest of it would have to stay upstairs because he's anyway only working with it as far as the plowing and everything else only a few times a year. Okay. We said in the Mishnah, Nosna lo zman, in both cases, the halacha is like Shmuel, that even when there's al abat tfachim, that it's enough to trigger the din that the tenant can come live downstairs, and that over here, that the one who has his garden upstairs is allowed to transfer it downstairs. Okay. We have the second case of the Mishnah was the case where a person had a dangerous wall or a dangerous tree, and Beis Din gave him a certain amount of time to clear it, to chop it down or tear it down. And then we said if it falls after that time, then he's chayav for the damages. So nosna lo zman, the Mishnah had said if they gave him a deadline, but kama zman Beis Din, how much is the usual amount of time that Beis Din gives a person? I'm going to be yechanan shloshim yom, so 30 days. And Tosfos points out, we can generalize from this. There are other cases as well where we say that Beis Din gives a person a certain grace period. In general, we say 30 days. For example, we talk about, let's say, as far as paying off a debt. You can have a person comes to Beis Din, and whether he's kofer hakol and swears a shvuas hesses, whether he's a moedim mitzvahs and swears a shvuah min atorah, in all cases where eventually Beis Din tells him, you have to pay, then they give him a grace period of 30 days. We have other examples of that as well. In the previous parak, for example, Rav Shimon Gamliel had said they take a mashkin shaloi b'shas alva, then you keep on returning it each day or each night, and then after 30 days you can sell it in Beis Din. With that said, Tosfos says we don't always. I mean, for example, the case that we were just talking about before, where a person breaks his jug in Rosh Hashanah Abim, and now you've got broken earthenware strewn all over the ground. We said, fine, if he's master it, then he's potter because it's achan nefilas onus. But anyway, if he's not master it, we're certainly not going to, or where it was pshia that he fell in the first place, we're certainly not going to say, based on, they're not going to give him 30 days to remove it. So it's not always that a person has 30 days, but we're talking about in that case, it's easy enough to pick up the pieces, so Beis Din doesn't really need to give him any grace period at all. But here we're talking about that it's going to take time to clean up all the debris or all of the logs from the cut down tree, so therefore Beis Din has to give him a certain grace period. So normally we're saying that would be 30 days. Next, we have the case, Misha Yakos Lechola. We have the case where Reuven's wall is next to Shimon's garden and it fell in. And we said that you can have two cases. One where Reuven says to Shimon, you keep the stones and I'm washing my hands of them. And we say he doesn't have the right to unilaterally do that without Shimon's consent. And vice versa, we had where he said, you know what, Shimon, you can have them. And then he wants to change his mind and says, I want them back. And we said also then no, you said also nothing new. So the Gemara says when you say Misha Yakos Lechola, so again we have the case. The second part of the case was if he says, you know what, after the fact, here let me pay you for your expenses in removing the stones, and I want the stones back. So Homid Katoni Sefer Helech Mitzvasecha. Since within this case, we're saying in the second part of the case that he says Helech Mitzvasecha, here let me pay you for your expenses. Miklal de Paninu Askinam. Evidently, we have to be talking about where the other guy already cleared them away. So, time of the paninu. So the implication seems to be only because the guy went to the trouble of clearing them away, then therefore you don't have the ability to take them back unilaterally. Paul loy paninu, implying that if he had not yet cleared them away, loy, then we would not say that he was koina yet. So the question is, am I? Why should he not be koina? Why should he not be koina regardless? Just because of the amai v'tiknelei sadeu. Shouldn't his field, or in this case his garden, be koina for him? As in fact, Rav Yosi Reb Chanina says that a person's chatzer is able to acquire for him without his das. And Tosfos adds, we have a Mishnah at the beginning of our Masechta in the first parak that talked about the concept of Kinyan Chotzer. But there it was talking about Oymed Tzad Sadehu, who is standing next to his field. But here we're talking about it's not necessarily standing over there, but it is a Chotzer Amishtameres. It's a garden that people are not just wandering in there randomly. So why shouldn't we say that he's Koine? So Rabbi Yossi Reb Chanina is telling us that even without him standing there, he's Koine without his das. So even if he hadn't. So why is the Mishnah implying that only Mishakibal Olav, he accepted it on himself, and he said, fine, I will clear away the stones. And he does. And then the other guy says, you know what? Now that you went to the work of clearing the stones, you know what? I'll pay you for your expenses in doing that. And let me have the stones back. We say in Sherman Law, why wouldn't he say that as soon as he, why wouldn't he say it? We say that even before he cleared it, then we would say that already he would, that already he acquired them. And the answer is, Hani Mila, Hechel, Dukam, Kaivin, Lachnui, Lachnui, like, sure, that's true. Where the other guy actually intends to be machne to him, Aval Hocha, but over here, Shtemuti, who become a Shtamit, like, it's more likely that, it's more likely to begin with, he was being asked, clear away your stones, and he decided, you know what, I'm gonna get out of that. I'm gonna go tell the other guy that belongs to you. So then he'll go and hire workers to clear them away, and afterwards I'll go and pay him for that, and that way, at least I get out of having to clear them myself. So therefore, so we can say he never really meant to genuinely be machnet to him. And therefore, we can't say that the other guy is koyner with kinyan chotzer unless he actually, once he cleared them away, then he's actually showing that, so then he's actually zoicha with them because then he actually did mashicha on them. With that said, the Nimuka Yosef brings from the Rif, that if he removed the stones and the owner of the stones was present and the other guy wasn't moicha, then it showed that yes, he intended to actually be machna them, not just to get out of it. Then therefore he would be koina them even before he finished clearing them away. Goyis Agura points out over here that here we're saying that in the Mishnah we're saying that the owner of the garden is koina the stones in a case like this only when he actually removes them. When it comes to the last part of the Mishnah, when we're talking about hiring a worker,
that's not his stones.
So we're saying that's stones from the other guy's wall, right? But we're saying on the face of it he would have been koina the Mekinyan Chotzer, but we can say the owner of the wall was not necessarily really meaning to be machnam in the first place. He was just trying to evade responsibility for cleaning them up. But once the other guy actually cleans them up, then he's koina them, not by kinyan chotzer, but rather by hagbar. But anyway, Agoris Agura points out in the last case of the Mishnah, when we have you hired a worker to collect straw, and you tell him take what you collected, versus you tell him after he agrees to that, he says, you know what, I changed my mind, here's your pay, would the same din apply that only once he picks it up is he koina? So Agoris Agura brings from the Rashba and from Shulchan Aruch that then the worker is koine regardless according to them, as opposed to according to the Ran and according to the Nemuka Yosef, we would say that choke, that they would in that case they would divide it evenly because we wouldn't say that he made a kidney out of it. Or no, choke, and actually that they argue and they say that they also, it would have to be that he not only agreed to take the straw as payment, but that he actually picked it up. So in other words, would the same kind of consideration apply only when he picks it up, according to the Ran and the Mukha Yosef? Yes, according to the Rashba and the Shulchan Aruch, no, it's different. The idea being, because there the difference is he actually owes him pay for his work, as opposed to over here he doesn't owe the owner of the garden for his work. Okay. So the Mishnah had continued, person hired a worker to collect straw for him, and we said if he wants to pay him with the straw, then we said that the other guy has the right to object. And vice versa, if he agreed to take the straw, then the other guy can't change his mind. This is where you have this machlokas we're showing him about, does that apply once, as soon as he agreed to take the straw, or does it require that he picks it up? Anyway, why do we need both that and the case with the stone? So the Gemara points out with Tzricha, we need to be told both cases. The Iyashim in and Lahach Kamaisa, if we were told only the first case of the Mishnah involving the stones, you would say, Tika Amale Higiyucha in Sherman Loi, you know why, if he says Higiyucha, you get to keep them, we say we don't listen to him, and the owner of the garden has the right to say, I don't need these stones, and I don't want the hassle and the expense of moving them. No, you're obligated to. We would say, you know why we don't listen? After all, it's not like the owner of these stones owes anything to the owner of the garden. They had no business deal between them before that. So therefore we can say, you're all of a sudden, out of the blue, your wall fell into my garden, and now on top of that you're saying, you keep the stones, I don't want that. Abelhacha, but when it comes to the worker, the Isle Agregabe, after all, the worker is owed money for his work, Ema Shoven Loi, maybe we would say, if the Balabas now wants to say, you take the straw as your payment, maybe we should listen to him, maybe the worker is obligated to accept it. The Amri Inchi, as the expression people say, Mimori Rashvasa, when you have somebody who owes you money, Tori Ipra, be willing to take even bran as payment. Meaning, maybe the other guy doesn't have the right to do that,
Ipra,
but you.
Is
no, Ipra means be paid. Maloshin Pora.
Oh, sorry. What's
the word? But the word for Pori, Hey Aleph Resh Yud, is the Aramaic word for bran.
Pori.
Yeah. I don't know.
We've said that before. I remember.
We've had this expression. But anyway, so yeah, so there's such a vote. People have this expression, and many times, of course, the Gemara will bring popular expressions like that and endorse them. But yeah, maybe the other guy doesn't have the unilateral right to offer you straw or bran or whatever. But after all, you should just take whatever he's offering. It's in your better interest to take whatever he's offering, and that way at least you've gotten some. That way at least you've gotten an asset of value, and then you can do something with it.
No. Bran was thought of as
it was basically animal food.
It was basically animal food.
So you could say maybe in fact in the case of the straw we would say that maybe the employer has the unilateral right to say, and as Rashi had said in the Mishnah, the fact is not so because we said you have to pay a worker the way that you agreed with him, namely in cash. But that's the point is the Mishnah has to inform us that the Iyashmin and Hocha, on the other hand. If we were only told in the case of the straw, you would say Hochashim Shakibal Olam in Shemin Loi. You would say, on the contrary, once he accepted on himself that he's going to take the straw in Shemin Loi, then we don't listen to the other guy who wants the straw back. Mishum de Islay Agra Gabe, precisely that, because he owes him money. So therefore, so now that you can say that the worker was koine it by virtue of his work. Aval Hocha de Lesle Agregabe, but when it comes to the stones, where again he didn't owe him any money, Ema Shoimin Loi, maybe we should listen to the owner of the original owner of the stones and say that he has the right to take them back, because he can say, listen, I never owed you money in the first place, it was just a matter of my stones versus yours, so maybe I have the right. Sricha, therefore, the Mishnah tells us that no, in that case, also once the owner of the garden accepted that he's going to keep those stones, then he's koneh them, then he's koneh them with kinyan chotzer, and now when he clears them away, he's not koneh them with kinyan chotzer, because the other guy is maybe only trying to evade his responsibility. But we said once they're actually cleared away, then he's koneh them by Mashiach, so now the other guy does not have the ability to change his mind. Rashi actually does mention the point that he is koneh with kinyan chotzer, but how does that fit with the previous piece of the Gemara that said that only once he cleared away? So you have the Maratz Chayes actually answers. We just said before the Nemuka Yosef wrote from the Rif that there's a difference whether he's clearing the stones in the presence of the guy who they belong to in the first place or not. If he does them in the presence of that guy, and the other guy doesn't say, wait, you know what, I changed my mind, then it means he's genuinely being mocked at them to the other guy. Well, in that case,
if he just starts the job,
then yeah. So once he starts clearing them, then it shows that, in fact, retroactively, he had it with Kenyan Fonsi. Next, we said in the Mishnah, Ein Shomen Loi, we said that when the employer wants to say to the employee,
when does Baba Basra start tomorrow or
the day after Thursday. So the Gemara continues. So now we said in the Mishnah Ein Shomen Loi. We said that when the employer says you keep the straw for yourself, then we said that we're Ein Shomen Loi. We don't listen to him, and the other guy can say I demand cash as we agreed in the first place. So Vatanya, but we learn in a Braisa Shomen Loi that we do listen to him, and it is valid for him to pay the other guy in straw.
Just to get this situation, he's clearing straw.
He's collecting straw for the other guy, yeah. So Reuven hires a worker to collect straw. That's what we're going to do.
Collect straw.
That's what we're going to deal in. One second. We're going to deal in the Gemara over these next few lines. Who does the straw belong to in the first place? Does it belong to the Balabayas? Is it Hefker? That's what we're going to deal with that.
Okay. So, saying.
So first we had him saying, yeah, whatever it is, as much as wouldn't even need it to pay you, right? We agreed that I was going to pay you. We agreed I was going to pay you for the job. $50, so you can cross off $50 of the straw will be yours. So then we're saying, Ain Sherman, Lois of the Mishnah had said, we don't listen to him.
You could be asking him to clean up the place. You know, just
whatever, it doesn't matter, yeah. So Valtanya Sherman, but we learn in a Braise that we do listen to him, and he is entitled to say, here, take $50 worth of straw. The answer is, Omer of Nachman, like Kasha Kandash Aloy Kandash Al-Khabeira. It depends whether he's telling him to pick up his straw versus somebody else's. Meaning, if he went and showed the worker that somebody else's field, then on the face of it, he would be able to say, Sherman Loy. Now, it doesn't mean, why would he be entitled to tell the other guy, that would he be entitled to tell the worker, take somebody else's straw? It would just mean, the Ran says it would mean, in other words, that the employer would be potter, and he would say, basically, that, listen, your business is with the other guy. You cleared for the other guy, so therefore it's not really my responsibility to pay you, it's going to be his responsibility. So on the face of it, that's what it means. It sounds like he's saying, Tomashal Sisvis Kocha, on the face of it, why does he even need to say that? Tosfos says, shouldn't we be able to say that later on? He can say, listen, what you did was not actually for me, it's the other guy that owes you money in the first place. So that's the question. So Omele Rabba Rab Nachman. So Rabba asked Rab Nachman and Bishaloi, my timer, what are you telling me if he was telling him to pick up his own, to collect his own straw, why is it that he's not allowed to pay him with something else? The Omele Agra Aloch, because he can tell him, listen, my pay is incumbent on you. You're the one who hired me and you're the one who's obligated to pay me, and therefore you have to pay me in money. Well, then, so if it was somebody else's straw, also the soicher is going to be responsible. He can't evade it by saying, yeah, but it wasn't my straw, it was somebody else's, and therefore that other guy has to pay you. No, you're the one who contracted with me. You're the one who wanted me to pick this up. And Tanya, we learn in a Braisa. A soicher is a poor loss of special oil. We learned this earlier in the Masechet. If you hire a worker to work on your property, and then instead you showed him somebody else's field, and that was where the guy went and did this work, you have to pay him in full for his, work. Because after all, you hired him. And then in turn, you go and collect from the owner of that, from that third party, with the hanah that you brought him. So Reuben hired Shimon to do work, and instead of showing him his own, Reuben's field, he showed him Levi's field, and Shimon goes in there and plows and plants and does whatever. So Reuben has to pay Shimon. Later on, Reuben will go over to Levi and said, you know what, I hired a worker to improve your field, so therefore you need to reimburse me for at least some of what I did, maybe not the full amount, but at least the amount of hanah, the fact that your field has now been improved. Why would he do that? That's a good question. But
maybe he made him an accident, maybe by mistake,
whatever it is, doesn't really matter. I mean, in other places in Shas, when we learned this earlier in the Masechta, when it's talked about in other places, it comes out it's not even necessarily that it would be. You could even have, for example, where the field does, on the face of it, belong to him, but there's a shibud on it, for example, a loya hela, an aposiki, for example, loya hela chaperon elamizu, where in effect it already is considered to belong to the other party. And therefore, even though on the face of it, it's in his rishus, it really belongs to the other guy. So Rabba says to Rab Nachman, so your answer doesn't really work, regardless whether the straw belongs to Reuven or whether it belongs to Levi. Either way, Reuven is going to be obligated to pay. Tosfos actually points out that now you have a difference. Tosfos points out you have where Stoma, where you have he hired him specifically telling him you're going to work on my property, as opposed to you could have where you just hired him without specifying. I want to hire you to do work without specifying whether it's mine or somebody else's. So Tosfos points out that the Gemara could have made that distinction over here. But the fact is, obviously, if you hire him to work on, specifically to work on somebody else's field, then sure, you can tell him afterwards the straw that you collected is, I'm doing it on behalf of that guy. He empowered me to do it for his field. So then sure, you're allowed to tell him to, he can tell him that he can take the straw. What we're talking about, in other words, there wouldn't be really a chiddush in that. So therefore, the Mishnah and the Braisa wouldn't even have to be talking about that. If we say, as the Gemara is going to answer, that it's talking about hefker and we're talking about things like that, then there's a chiddush. It's not just that we want to see the din, we want to see that there's a chiddush in the din. Okay. So anyway, so Rav Nachman's answer doesn't work, because if you specifically told him you're working on mine, and then instead you had them working on somebody else's, then in fact he's going to have to pay. Ela Omer Rav Nachman like Kasha. So rather, Rav Nachman gave a different answer. Kan b'shaloi, kan b'shal hefker. The difference is the Mishnah that's saying that he has to pay him and he can't get away with giving him the straw is talking about where the straw belongs to the employer. The Braisa that says that Shomen lo, that he could give it to him, is talking about b'shal hefker. He told him to collect straw from hefker. So now he's not really chayev. So therefore, he's not really chayev to pay him. Because Rashi explains like this. At the beginning of the Masechta, in the first paragraph, we talk about Hamagbia Metzia L'Chaver. If Reuven sees a lost object or a hefker object, and he tells Shimon to pick it up for him, or Shimon himself unilaterally picks it up on behalf of Reuven, is he koineh it on behalf of Reuven or not? So Rav Nachman holds that no. Well, therefore, so it comes out, therefore, when Shimon, the employee, picks up the straw from Hefker, he's not actually being koneh for Reuven. If he was koneh for Reuven, then yeah, we would say, yeah, it means that it belongs to Reuven, and now Reuven has an obligation to pay. But because he picked it up and he's not koneh for Reuven, he's koneh for himself, so Rashi explains it's one thing if Reuven had told him to go work in Levi's field, you can't say you keep the straw because it belongs to Levi. You don't have any rights to do that. But here we're saying, so if he tells him schorfa balabayas, if he tells him payment is going to have to be arranged with Levi, I'm not taking responsibility for the payment, then fine. It means Shimon accepted before he started the job that he's going to go to Levi for payment. But here we're talking about there's Hefker involved over here. There's no Levi. There's only Reuven and Shimon. And when Shimon picks up the straw, he is koneh for himself, according to Rav Nachman, because I'm agbiyam etzil chaver like koneh chaver. So therefore, so now Reuven is not really obligated to pay him. It's rather Shimon, when he picked up the straw, in effect, he's picking it up to be koneh for himself.
So well, some guy tells another guy, pick up some straw, and it's not his field.
Well, we're saying it's Hefker. We're saying the straw is Hefker, yeah.
But the field is not owned by anyone.
Well, it could be the field was owned by somebody and he wasn't koneh for whatever reason, such as it wasn't a chotzer or a shameres, whatever, yeah. The point is that the straw doesn't belong to,
Point. Yeah. It could be the field, so they really worked a number on this guy.
Maybe, I don't know. But the Ramban makes a different point, actually. It's more the fact that the worker himself knows that it doesn't belong to the employee. He knows that it's hefker and the other guy didn't say, pledge to pay you. So to begin with, the worker realizes when he starts the job that he didn't necessarily have a claim for payment against the other guy.
He must want the straw. He must,
maybe.
The guy must be like, hey, take this straw.
Maybe. All right, let's go on.
And then,
So when it's heavy. Eisvei Rava le Rav Nachman. However, Rava then asks Rav Nachman. That doesn't seem to work either. Before we had Rava questioning Rav Nachman. Now we have Rava. This still doesn't seem to work. We learned in the first parak of Amasekta, Metzias Koyol La'atzmoy, when you hire a worker and he finds something, so we said, fine, you Rav Nachman are saying, Hamagbiya Metzia L'chaver, like Kona Chaver, but it's different when you hire a worker. Metzias Koyol La'atzmoy, when a worker finds something during the job, then he can keep it for himself. Amasai, but when does that apply? Bizman sh'omole balabayas nakish imi ayoyim, oyadori mi ayoyim. When the balabayas, when the employer told him, weed with me today, or hoe in the field, dig around the roots with me today. So he was hired only for a particular job, only for weeding or hoeing. When he finds a metzia, he's not doing it on behalf of the balabais, he's doing it on behalf of himself, therefore he gets to keep it. But if he told him generically, do work for me today, then anything that he finds belongs to the balabais, because that's also part of his work. Even Rav Nachman is saying, even Rav Nachman who says that I'm a Gvir Matzila, Chaver Lekona Chaver, right? We learned back on Adaf Yud that he says it's different with a worker. There we say the worker can acquire it on behalf of the Balabais. So over here, we're talking about exactly that. You told this worker to pick up straw. So, and the Gemara had clearly said over there, Omale, that Rav Nachman had said, shiny poil, it's different with a worker, the yodik, yad balabais, that the hand of the worker is like the hand of the balabais. So Rav Nachman himself, so Rav asked Rav Nachman, so you yourself are agreeing that when you hire a worker is different. Well, you hired the worker over here, so then in that case, how can you say that he's not expecting to be paid and he wasn't machayev him to pay him, he wasn't machayev himself to pay, etc. So that answer doesn't work for you. Ela Omer Rav Nachman, said Rav Nachman says, fine, we are talking about the scores hefter, v'loy kasha, kan bahagboha, kan bahabota. There's a difference whether the worker picked up the straw, where when he picked it up, then therefore that means he actually did work on behalf of the employer. Now the employer is chayav to pay him, and therefore he can't get out of saying that instead you keep the straw. The braisa that says shoymin is talking about bahabata, where he hires him only to watch it. So to watch it, or Rashi says, for example, to throw it down from a higher floor to a lower floor where there's no hagbar. So now he can say, now the balabos can say, it was hefker, there was no kinyan done on it yet, I was not zoche in it yet, so now you can be zoche in it, and therefore we can listen to it.
So we're learning about kasha on kash.
Right. So Omer Rabba, habot behefker tanoi. So Rabba points out, you should know, so here, Rav Nachman is saying that we're talking about where you're looking at something, and the question is, whether you koine it or not, you should know. There's actually a machlokas tanoim on that subject, whether looking at hefker is enough to be koine. Now, by the way, in the first perek, in connection with that whole matter of metzia, we talked about there was a case where a person saw a metzia and fell on it. We said he's not koine. The difference is there he means to be koine by falling on it, and that's not a valid kinyan, so therefore no good. But if he was only looking at it and watching it, maybe that would be enough to be koine. And in fact, there's machlok, Rabba says there's machlok, there's kanoim on the subject. The Tanan. We learn in a Mishnah and Masechta Shkolim. Now, the Mishnah is describing over there, you have the Trumas HaLishka, you have the collection of Machzah Shekel that's brought from all over to the Bais Mikdash. And the Bais Mikdash, the treasurers, the Gizborim of the Bais Mikdash, use that money to pay the various expenses of the Bais Mikdash. So they use it to buy the animals and the flour and whatnot for the Karbonus and all kinds of the spices for the Ketoros, etc., etc. And then the Mishnah describes there are also certain workers who are paid out of Hekdash. One example the Mishnah brings over there is Shomrei Sfichei Shvius, people who are watching Sfichim after growth of Shemitah. Now, yeah, during Shemitah itself, you can't plant, but you're always going to have, in a field of grain, you're always going to have svichim, aftergrowths, where you have kernels of grain fell during the harvest last year or previous years, and now this year they sprout. Minatura, you're perfectly allowed to eat them. Midrabanan, there are certain cases where you're not supposed to because the chum were concerned that you're going to plant and then pretend it grew on its own. But the point is, they're going to need that grain eventually. They're going to need some of that grain for the Omer and for the Shtei Alechem during Shemitah year. So Hekdesh hires workers to watch Sfichishvias, to watch these aftergrowths of wheat or barley respectively. So those watchmen, Neupman, Schorin, the Trumas HaLishka, they get paid out of the Trumas HaLishka. This is one of the operating expenses of the Bais Mikdash. An interesting point in this regard is, we know the Torah tells us you're not allowed to, like, fence in your field or watch your peiros or whatever during Shemitah. So on the face of it, if there are people watching these peiros over here, if there are people watching this produce, how does that help? It's still also to do. So Rashi elsewhere explains that you're not allowed to, but if you did, the peiros don't become also to eat. So therefore, fine, in this case, Hekdesh has to do it, because otherwise there's not going to be anything for the Omer and the Shei Alechem. It doesn't prevent it from being edible, and therefore it's not also. Tosfos actually disagrees, and says that, no, Tosfos over there, in Yevamos, and earlier in Amasech, that touches on this point as well, Tosfos over here refers to what they learned, what they taught about it in Perek HaZohav, that if you have the produce that was washed, then you're not allowed to eat it. Now, the question is, korbanos always have to be something which is mimashke Yisrael, something which is allowed for Jews to eat. If the din is that if you watch peiros shvius, they become also to eat. If you go fence in your field or otherwise prevent people from taking it, then you're not allowed to eat it. Then how are you allowed to use these for the Omer and the Shkela? Satorsky explains a couple of possibilities. First of all, they don't actually physically prevent people from taking them. Anybody who comes, you inform them, you should know this is being earmarked for the Omer, this is being earmarked for the Shtei Lechem, but you're not physically preventing them like you would if there was a fence there or something. Elsewhere, Tosfos gives a different explanation that the whole issue is only on a Hedyot and not on Hekdesh in the first place. The Hekdesh is perfectly allowed to do this, mm-hmm. and there would be no issue. This machlokas, Rashi and Tosfos, has practical applications nowadays. When you have a Jewish farmer in Eretz Yisrael doing Shemitah who doesn't know about the dinim of Shemitah and works his field, who relies on the Heter Mechira or whatever, are you allowed to, after the fact, eat those fruit that he grew? According to Rashi, yes. According to Tosfos, no.
Because Rashi says.
As Rashi said, even though you watched it and it was be'isser, nevertheless, b'di'evid, you're still allowed to eat it. Whereas Tosfos would hold that no, once it was washed, once you fenced in your field or whatever and prevented people from taking it, then that's also to eat. Yeah. So the point is, so these watchmen get paid, the Tanakama there says, get paid out of Trumas Alishka. Rabbi Yossi says also, if a person wants to volunteer to watch them for free, then he can do that. He can volunteer to watch them as a Shemachinam. Omrulor, the Chum said, you can't. After Omer came, you're saying that a person can volunteer. The problem with that is, ain't boring Mishop Sibur. The problem is that the grain then is not going to be from the Tzibur. That's grain for the Omer and the Shtei Lechem has to belong to the Tzibur. If you're going to have somebody is going to watch it on his own, it's going to be considered his, and therefore, it's not going to belong to Hekdesh. So in other words, it comes out, they hold Habbotah v'Hekdeh Kanei. So on the face of it, so Rabbi says, my lab b'hokam mitzvi. Isn't that then the machlokas? The Tanakama saw Habbotah v'Hekdeh Kanei. The Tanakama says that just looking at it is enough to be Kanei. Now, by the way, even according to Tosfos, who says that you're not allowed to watch them, he would agree that a small amount like this is not enough. After all, a person is allowed to take a small amount for himself to doing Shemitah. So therefore, if he's watching a small amount, then it doesn't make it also to eat. But the Chachamim apparently hold that Habbotah v'Hekdeh Kanei, and therefore the Iyahivalei Agra to Ein. So if they pay him for his watching it, then sure, it belongs to the Tibur, because now he's working on their behalf. The Iloi Loi, and if not, then not, and it's going to belong to the Yachid. And that's a problem because then it needs to belong to the Tzibur. Tosfos actually mentions at the very beginning of the Masechta that Rashi learns that just the watching itself would be enough to be Kohen. Tosfos actually learns at the very beginning of the Masechta that it means like he makes like a small fence around it or something. But the point is that the point is it would end up going to the Chacham, it would end up belonging to the Yachid. Rabbi Yossi Sava Habbotah v'Hekdeh Lo Kanei. Rabbi Yossi is going to hold just looking at it is not Kohen, or even building a little fence around it is not going to be enough because the fact is he didn't do any kinyan on it. So Rabbi Yossi says no problem. So when the tzibur comes and goes and collects the svichim for the omer and the shearim, now for the first time they're being zeichen it. So therefore it comes mishal tzibur and there's no problem that the guy was watching it for free all this time. So Rabbi explains Uma after omer. Now when the chachamim argued to Rabbi Yossi and said, your method of doing as a Shemachinam doesn't work because you're saying you can do that, but the problem is it's not going to be Mishal Tzibur. What the Chachamim mean, Ochi Kamile, Midvarecha, from your words, you're saying that he's going to watch it for free, Lidvarenu. Now, according to our Svara, that Habbotah v'Hekdeh Kanei, Ein Omer, Shtei Lechem, Boi Mishal Tzibur, that it won't be from the Tzibur. So in other words, the Chachamim are saying to Rabbi Yossi, fine, we understand, you hold Habbotah v'Hekdeh Kanei. So according to you, such a thing would work out. We can't agree with you on that because we hold the underlying issue is Habbotah v'Hekdeh Kanei, and therefore the guy is going to be Kohen and it's not going to be Mishal Tzibur. So it comes out, says Rabbi, that's a Macholokes Tanoim, whether Habbotah v'Hekdeh Kanei. Omar Rabba, Loi, but Rabba says, no, that's not the meaning of the Macholokes. Dekula Amar Habbotah v'Hekdeh Kanei, they might both agree that looking at Hekdeh is enough to be Kohen. You don't need to do any kinyan. You don't need to do any kinyan on it. So therefore that also means that when Rav Nachman had said before, when he made a distinction between Hagbah and Habbotah, Rava would not accept that distinction. Here, the difference is, and as far as the case of the Omer and the Shtei Lechem, the question is, are we concerned that he might not fully give them over to the Tzibur? The Rabbanan Sadri, Yavinin like Agra, the Chum say Hektish has to pay him, the Eloy, and if not, Cheshin, Shemele Yimser, and Yafi Yafa, we're concerned that he might not fully give them over. Now, of course, you could argue like that, don't have the same problem. Many times people are giving Machza Shekel. The difference is everybody is equally giving Machza Shekel, so there's no reason for anybody to think my Machza Shekel still remains in some way in my possession and I have a say in how it's used. But here, where it's one individual guy watching the tour, then he thinks to himself that I have a certain right of what it's going to be done. In fact, Teferis Yisrael adds a point that he's going to think that first of all the Shomer thinks that it's still Hefker. He doesn't realize that he was actually Konan, he's Machnet to the Tzibur, so he may fail to do that, and therefore it actually became his without him realizing that. Because I bought the Behefko Kani. Another point is also that the Teferes Yisrael makes another point. When we say Yofa Yofa means that you agree, Basin can do with it whatever you want. Well, with money, sure, you can do that. He knows that it's used for many different purposes in the Bais Hamikdash. Here, the barley, he knows is going to be used for the Omer. The wheat, he knows is going to be used for the Shtei Lechem. So he may think to himself, oh, look, they have nothing else. Obviously, they need to use this. So he just thinks, I don't have to really give it over to Tzibur, regardless. What else are they going to use? So therefore, so the Tanakhama is concerned that Shemala Yimsirim Yafa Yafa. Rabbi Yossi Sabalai Hashin and Shemala Yimsirim Yafa Yafa. Rabbi Yossi is not concerned about that consideration. So when the Chacham say to Rabbi Yossi Ata Omer, wait, you're saying that he's going to be a Shem Achinam, but how does that solve the problem of that has to come Mishal Tzibur? So Rabbi again had explained the point to his Shita that they're saying, that you have a valid svara according to your own opinion, but we can't accept it because it doesn't fit with our understanding that Habot Behefker Lekani. Rava is explaining that no, it's saying when they're saying Ma Ata Omer Hachu Kamele, same thing. Midvarecha Midvareinu, your opinion, fine, is logically consistent with itself, but according to our opinion that right. We're concerned, Shemalayim de Hashin and Shemalayim Shem Yafa Yafa, so according to us, we can't accept your svara because Ein Omer Shtei Lechem Boim Mishal Tzibur, because the result will be the Omer and the Shtei Lechem are not going to come from the property of the Tzibur. So therefore, so yes, everybody could agree, Habot de Hefker Kani, and therefore we can't use Reb Nachman's answer before that there's a difference between Habot and Agbah. Either way, he'd be Kone, and back to the case of our Mishnah, then we would have to say that Ein Shomim Lo because the worker was already Kone. Ikadami, another version of how Rava gave the answer, the Kula Amah Habot de Hefker Loi Kani. Another way of understanding this, Fakir, you could say both opinions in the Mishnah and Shkolim hold that Habot de Hefker is not Kone. So there's no question he wasn't koyner. The question is, are we concerned about tough people, people who might want to grab this produce for themselves? The Tanakhama
suffered. Masters of arms.
Yeah, literally means masters of arms, like people who rely on the strength of their arm. The Tanakhama suffered to takinu rabbonim lemeisav le'ayba zuzi. So the Chum said you have to make a takana, you have to pay the watchman for zuzim. Four zuzim was considered like minimum wage in those days, like a minimum wage worker might make that amount per day. So it was a way of expressing four zuzim, like a nominal amount of money, like you might say in English, give him a dollar.
Jury duty.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, let's say. Yeah, whatever. So the Chum made a takana that you should give him a certain amount of money, even if it's only four zuzim. Ki hechi delishmi bali zroyas. This way, these bali zroyas will hear that he's being paid by hekvish, the lifvishu minayu, and they will stay away from it because they're going to know that it belongs to hek. So one point is, in other words, that this way, in other words, there's a coil that belongs to Hektish, so they themselves are going to know to stay away. They don't want to cause Hektish a hefsid. So otherwise, the Bali Zoyas, so the Ramban explained, the Bali Zoyas would say to themselves, you know what, Hektish is not losing out. They'll find barley or wheat someplace else. We can take this. But now, when you say that this belongs to Hektish, then that causes them to stay away. So the Chum say you need that in order to keep the Bali Zroyas out of the way. But Rabbi Yossi, the Chum say, Rabbi Yossi rather says, you don't need such a takana. Uma ata omer. So now we have to understand, according to this version of Rava, what do the Chachamim mean when they say to Rav Yosi ata omer? But based on what you're saying, wouldn't it come out that it belongs to that belongs to the Yochid and not to the Sivur? Hachi kamilei. Again, they're saying midvarecha, from your words, and fine, what you're saying works according to your opinion. But lidvareinu, but we can't accept it according to our svara, because we say that we're concerned about the Baal Zeraya, and the result is, according to our opinion, if we were to do that, and we were to tell him that he can watch it for free, ein boin mishal tzibur, the result is, what would happen? He's supposed to be paid, because to avoid the Baal Zeraya, meanwhile he's being moichel to them. Well, therefore, it comes out, not the oimer and the shtei alachim themselves, but another, the four zuzim that he should have been paid, ends up being that it's shemala, that it's not coming mishal tzibur. Ultimately, those four zuzim are going to be used to buy some other korbanos, and those are not going to be coming mishal tzibur. So therefore, you have to pay him regardless. If he afterwards, after he's paid, if he's coined the money, and he wants to give it back to Hetfish, then the Chum says, there's no to hate, but you have to pay him to begin. And the Gemara says, "V'chein ki also Rovin Amar Rav Yochanan Choshen L'Baal Zeraya." So when Rovin came from Eretz Yisrael, he reported in the name of Rav Yochanan that yes, that is the meaning, that is the understanding of the machlokas between Rav Yosi and the Chachamim is precisely on this point of Choshen L'Baal Zeraya. So in other words, out of the three answers that we had Rava's point that the machlokas was an abot behefter. Rava's first point that it was about Shemel Yimser and Yafa Yafa, and Rava's second point that it's about Baal Zeraya, Rav Yochanan holds like the third one that that's the underlying reason of the Machlokas is about Chosh and the Baal Zeraya.
And as far as looking at something and being Kaneh, seems like the end of the Gemara says no.
So right, so because we have the second version of Rava, usually when the Gemara brings two versions of a discussion, usually the halacha is like a second one, and since in the second version of it, your Rava says that everybody agrees, then yes, in fact, the halacha is just looking at it, or even like Tosfos had said, making a little fence around it is not enough to be kone, you have to actually do some form of kinyan. And as long as he doesn't, then it's not considered his. So therefore, back to, in the case of On Mishnah, which said, Ein Shomin Lo, that we don't listen to the employer, when he says, you can keep the straw, versus a Brisa that said that he does, then we have the difference. If he was Magbia, versus if there was Habata.
So very practical, yeah. Because, I mean, if I saw that, but you're right next to it. I saw it first. I mean, how are you going to...
So we were actually talking that. Well, first of all, that's why Joseph said it's not just enough to see it. It means you get some kind of mice to preserve it.
Yeah.
For example, making a silver fence. But again, yeah. But you have also a person is koiner within his four amos when it's not the interest of Abim. So yeah, if it was within four amos of somebody else, then he wouldn't be koiner it anyway because the other guy would be koiner.
Well, I mean, like if there's something in the middle of the field, but you're 20 amos away and I'm 30 amos away and we run the same speed and so I can't go, I saw it first.
Yeah, but they're smart.
You're a school child.
No, yeah, but I mean both of them are seeing it first.
Yeah. Okay. So, but the guy who runs the grass is going
to
get it.
Yeah, okay. All right, so we'll
run all the way to the basin with it.
So we'll continue and we'll finish off from the stack.
I don't know if he's going to go to the one.